Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world, and happy Saturday, unless you're in Australia, where it's Sunday. So this is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune in to this broadcast today. I know your time is valuable, and I'm truly, truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 29 minutes or 28 and some change, let's add to your wellness experience. And I think I'll probably add to my wellness experience as well, because preparing for this program was really, really, really a bit difficult, because there is so much information on sugar. So first of all, I want you to kind of like jot down a few things for me if you haven't already done this. WiserLiving.com, WISER Living.com. Please go to WiserLiving.com and sign up for our newsletters. It's in the upper right-hand corner of that page. You'll see WiserLiving.com, the website. You click on Wiser Living TV, and it'll take you to a page, a YouTube page, where you can subscribe, and you'll not only get access to the current educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is uploaded. So go to Wiser Living TV from the WiserLiving.com page and do that. And also, you guys, please, please like us on Facebook and subscribe, because Facebook is doing a lot of different things now. I guess they want everybody to pay. I don't know. I shouldn't say that, but I'm going to say it anyway. They want people to pay to advertise and everything. So please, please, please go to Facebook and subscribe there. Once again, WiserLiving.com, subscribe. WiserLiving.tv, subscribe. And Wiser Living Radio, you're on it right now. Subscribe and follow us. All right, so I need to know who's interested, what you're interested in, because some people say, hey, can you talk on this? You give me these topics, you know, sometimes, and I'll develop a topic for you, okay? Wow. Okay, I know that I said that a little fast, but man, we don't have a lot of time today, so I want to talk about sugar. Sugar. I mean, it's just sugar. I could just say that for like the next, you know, 30 minutes, sugar. You know, we say that to each other, sugar. You know, sometimes we say honey to each other. It's like, it's wild, the things that went through my mind of preparing for this. But sugar is a compound that dates back to the 12th century. When I think of sugar, I think of candy. I think of jams. I think of desserts. You know, sugars and their derivatives include many important molecules of life that play key roles in the immune system, fertilization, preventing the origin and the development of acute, chronic, or recurrent disease states. It plays a key role in the clotting of blood and the development of connective tissues, organs, organ systems. I mean, specific sugars like glucose is food for the brain. It gives mental clarity, especially under stresses like test taking. You know, if you fast the night before an exam and you're you know, while you're taking that exam the next day, while you're sucking on or dissolving a piece of hard candy, you know, made mostly of glucose syrup, you'll get a huge surge of brain energy. And if you studied for the test, obviously, the answers will virtually jump out of the question itself. I mean, I've done this personally. Sugar is important. I mean, there are good sugars and bad sugars. You know, sugar, you know, it has a part to play in every single cell in your body. There's no escaping it. You know, these are necessary sugars in the form of plant polysaccharides that create a necessary language, so your body can go about the business of building, defending, and restoring itself. So when we talk about structure and function and location and in the human body, somewhere along those reactions will be a sugar. If you need energy, a sugar will likely be involved. If you have blood in your body, you know, most of you, you know, you're anemic, but if you have blood in your body, a sugar has a part in determining your blood type. I mean, that sugar can be galactose or N-acetyl galactosamine or N-acetyl glucosamine, fucose. So sugar or saccharides, not saccharin, I'm talking about saccharides or polysaccharides or monosaccharides, all sugars, they're very, very extremely important. So the bad guys, those types of sweeteners that are in processed foods or the liquids we drink, outside water. These bad guys, these imitators, they mess up everything. And your body becomes what? Dysfunctional. It's like it's almost like it's a slow death. You don't really realize it until you actually have a breakdown somewhere in your system, in your organ system. You know, it doesn't work the way it should. It doesn't respond appropriately because of these imitators. You know, there was a commercial or advertisement. They call it adverts in Europe. Anyway, it was talking about a compound called sucralose. The trade name is Splenda, and this commercial said it said it all really. It sucralose, sucralose. And in this commercial, it said it looks like sugar, but it's not. It tastes like sugar, but it's not. So when you take a look at the word itself and break it down, sucralose, sucralose, sucralose. S-U-C-R equals sugar. On the end of sucralose is O-S-E. O-S-E equals sugar. So in between the sucra, the S-U-C-R, and the O-S-E at the end is the letters A-L. Sucralose. So the good guy part of sucralose is sucrose, or table sugar. So if you take the word sucrose and put the letters A-L, in between the S-U-C-R and the O-S-E, you don't have sucrose anymore or its calories anymore. That's why it looks like sucrose, but it's not. It tastes like sucrose, but it's not. You get it? I mean, do you really get it? This is a subtlety that we find in all of these sugars that we should not be consuming in our body each and every day. And nobody's looking at the ingredients on the packaging. You're not doing it. You're looking at the label, and the label is good. It's colored nice, and it attacks your senses. And you put it in a basket, and you buy it. And then you take it home, and you eat it. You might eat two of them or three of them. We're going to talk about that. But let me move to the American Heart Association. The American Heart Association, they recommend that women, write this down, women, that women have no more than 6 teaspoons of sugar, or roughly about 100 calories per day. Now, I find that when we talk about calories and grams and all this, teaspoons, it gets confusing because they don't all use the same unit of measurement. So 6 teaspoons or 30 grams of sugar, about 100 calories per day of sugar. Guys, hey, you guys, you get to go one up on this one. You can have 3 teaspoons more. Well, I guess the correct English would be 3 more teaspoons, or 9. You can have 9 teaspoons or 150 calories per day, or 45 grams. So let's take a peek into your pantry and your refrigerator. I know some of you are not going to get up, but I don't blame you. I wouldn't either, because once you go in there, your life's going to be forever changed. So shall we go in there for you brave ones? You might be, take your cell phone, because you could take it and put it on speaker or whatever. But anyway. You might be a bit surprised at what you find there. Pasta sauce. They taste savory, not sweet, right? But many pasta sauces have between 6 to 12 grams of sugar per half cup serving. Per half cup. I don't know anyone that's in close proximity to me that can survive on a half a cup of pasta sauce on their spaghetti or whatever you're putting it on. I mean, it's crazy. 6 to 12 grams. That's 1 to 2 teaspoons. It doesn't seem, that's a half. So if you do a cup, that would be 2 to 4 teaspoons, right? Think about that. That's just one meal or half a meal. It depends on how much you put in there. So that's the same amount you get from a chocolate chip cookie. Oh, you don't have chocolate chip cookies in your. I know they're not in the refrigerator, but they're not in your cabinet, right? Your pantry. Chocolate chip cookies. I'm not talking about the ones you made, maybe with some coconut sugar, or or some maple syrup or something like that. But is sugar listed on the ingredient label with your favorite store-bought pasta sauce. Look at the label. Is it listed in the ingredients? Let's go to granola bars. Because, you know, when you say the word granola, you say health. You think health. I mean, you can taste health, granola bars. Granola bars, the label has ingredient listings like corn syrup. Can anyone say GMO? Corn syrup, unless it says non-GMO on the label. Brown sugar, honey, brown sugar syrup. I guess it wasn't sweet enough. They had to add that. And then I guess it still wasn't sweet enough, so they added some dextrose. Still wasn't sweet enough, so they added fructose. Not good. And some of these granola bars have yogurt or chocolate or a chocolate coating, because, you know, people love chocolate, or chocolate chips, which gives you about 8 to 12 grams of sugar per serving. It's another couple of teaspoons. Yogurt. Yogurt is full of healthy calcium and protein. I'm going to give you that. But even low-fat yogurt can have 17 to 33 grams of sugar per 8-ounce serving. That's 3.4 to 6.6 teaspoons of sugar. Remember, girls out there, 6, guys, 9. Just here, you almost met your you know, what you should have for the day. Is that crazy? Instant oatmeal. I had to put oatmeal in there because I like oatmeal, but, you know, I found recently, in the last year or so, that I can't have as much oatmeal as I used to. When I was when I was a kid and I was running all over the place and jumping over fences and leaping tall buildings with a single bound, you know, instant oatmeal has a good reputation for being full of healthy fiber. But many of the instant, and the key word here is instant, have between 10 to 15 grams of sugar per packet. Per packet. I'm not talking about the old-fashioned oatmeal that takes 5 minutes to cook. 10 to 15 grams, that's 2 to 3 teaspoons. I can't even go anymore on that one because it upsets me that I would have that much sugar in that product, and I haven't had my juice. I haven't had maybe a slice of bread, which I don't do anymore because there's more sugar. Can you see? You could have your first meal of the day and be over your pancreas will be yelling and screaming at you, and you're wondering why you need a cup of coffee because you're falling asleep on the way to work on the freeway, trying not to hit the center divider. It's like it's funny, but it's not if you're the person that's in the accident. What about salad dressing? I mean, there are all kinds of salad dressings out there on the market. And most people, they have no desire to make their own like we do in this household. It's easier than you think. So which ones do you have in your refrigerator? Thousand Island? Blue cheese? Maybe a vinaigrette of a kind. Maybe, no, you have French dressing. Or you have this Catalina dressing. Well, you have about 5 to 7 grams of sugar in a 2-tablespoon serving. Now you tell me, is 2 tablespoons enough to put on your salad? You don't want to see the salad. You want it colored with the dressing, right? That's why they call it dressing. It's like a dress on your body. You want at least the same, almost, not the same, but, you know, you at least want to cover it. Well, that's going to be way more than 2 tablespoons. It's going to be way more than 5 to 7 grams of sugar. I think four tablespoons would be more like it. What is that? More hidden sugar. What about the almighty breakfast cereals? You know, we already know that all of those fruity kid cereals, we know they're high in sugar, so we don't eat those. But even the healthier sounding ones sneak sugar inside. You know, maybe the most popular, the most popular oat, corn. When I say corn, I always link GMO. Is it GMO? Unless it says non-GMO, it's GMO. And bran cereals. You know, bran's supposed to be good for you. Well, most of these cereals have 10 to 20 grams or more per cup. So start reading the ingredients. We're talking 2 to 4 teaspoons of sugar per cup. And you know as well as I do, you're going to put more than one of cereal in your bowl. If the bowl was, like, smaller, but they're not, I mean, if you got a smaller bowl, you're putting something else in it. Well, let me move on a little bit because time is, like, racing on me, you know. What about those energy drinks? And I see countless people with these things in their hand all the time. It's like, you know, it's like it's almost like it's a flag for them, you know, like a crest. You know, what about them? Well, yes, they have caffeine. And caffeine, as you know, many of you know, caffeine depletes your B vitamins. If you don't know, you know now. So if you're drinking coffee, I'm not going to take the coffee away for you because it's not my job to do that. But if you're drinking coffee, you got to add an extra vitamin per cup. Each time you drink it. But those energy drinks also have a bunch of sugar to go along with that caffeine, about 25 grams per 8-ounce serving. 25 grams per 8-ounce serving. As soon as you inhale one of those, you just took 5 teaspoons of sugar. Now, I know people who drink 5 times that amount. 5 times that amount. I mean, I can name people that I deal with on a daily basis. I go to their jobs and they have this big giant, you know, 40-ounce, 44-ounce, or, you know, it's huge. You know, that's 25 teaspoons right there. That's if they don't eat anything else. So, can you say diabetes? I mean, the sugar is adding up. Okay. So you're in a hurry. You got to get to work. You got to get the kids off to school. So why not get some packaged fruits in there? Because it's easy to make the lunchbox. It's easy to put it, you know, you can throw it in the car and, you know, you're on your way to work or what have you, or you're on your way to exercise, you're on your way to run. I mean, think about that. So you put that little packaged fruit in there. It's just small. So in the mind, it's like it's a small thing. It couldn't be bad for you. Well, a little can of oranges or mandarins or anything like that and light syrup will typically have about 39 grams of sugar. 39 grams in a one-cup serving. That's 7.8 teaspoons of sugar. Okay, let's make a call to the diabetes hotline or the obesity clinic and reserve a seat because that's where you're headed. That's where you're headed if you're eating this way. I mean, seriously, this is madness. And if you drain the syrup from the container, just drain it out so you're just eating the fruit itself, and just eat that fruit, you're getting 15.5 grams or 3 teaspoons. So, yeah, it's better than with the syrup in it, but seriously, 3 teaspoons in that little tiny container? I know if I'm consuming 2 or 3 of those because if I'm hungry, I want to be satiated. Or I might eat another healthier banana, or I might eat you know some grains or whatever. I mean, with some sugar in it, and don't. Oh, okay, let me get too far ahead of myself. Let me move to coleslaw. I love coleslaw. You know that healthy side dish at the fast food restaurant that I know you don't go to? You know, you might want to rethink that because one regular size coleslaw, and they don't give you a lot of coleslaw. I mean, it's small. But one regular size coleslaw from one of these, one of your many popular fast food places will cost you about 15 grams in sugar, 3 teaspoons. And that's not, you haven't even ate the burger or your fish sandwich that has bread that's going to break down into sugar. You haven't even drank the tea or the lemonade. It's got sugar in it, right? You haven't even drank that yet. And you wonder why you're thirsty. Too much sugar. Body going, what the heck is going on here? We need water. But you go get another soda because they give the sodas free refill. So please, if you're going to eat it, don't give it to your kids. Because they're going to be bouncing off walls if they're eating that way. You can always make a healthy variety yourself. You can. What about tea? Because I know you're saying you don't do sodas, you don't do this, you don't do that. What about tea? Most of us are aware of the added calories and sugar and juices, so you switch to tea. Uh-oh. Many of the popular teas have around 32 grams of sugar per bottle. That's 6.4 teaspoons per bottle. Per bottle, a cup of apple juice has 24 grams of sugar. 4.8 teaspoons. Man, this is madness. Okay, walk over to your pantry. Peek in the side. Don't walk all over. Just peek in the side. And pick up some dried fruit. You know, the fruit with all of the water taken out. This one really upsets me because I love to eat raisins. I mean, I love to eat a lot of them. You know, well, a small handful of raisins, roughly about 0.5 of an ounce, has more than, I don't even want to say it, 25 grams of sugar, 5 teaspoons. Ladies and gentlemen, probably eat a whole bag in one sitting. I'm serious. This is crazy. So if I eat 3 handfuls and I have a fairly large palm, I'm dumping 15 teaspoons of sugar into my system. My pancreas, my liver, my bloodstream, brain is not going to be happy with that type of irresponsible consumption of a food that tastes so good. It tastes good. That's crazy. And so it's like I'm talking to you, but I'm also talking to myself because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, and I'm hearing what I'm saying. But in my mind's eye, I can see raisins. I can see them. But I've got to change how I think about that because I don't want to make a phone call to my pancreas and ask it why it's not producing insulin. You know, what's going on? Liver, why aren't you doing your job? Gallbladder, why are you giving me that pain? This is crazy. Let me move a little. Let me move on. You know, my son likes ketchup. And in some households, they say catsup. You know, catsup, ketchup, K-E-T and C-A-T. But anyway, ketchup gives you about 4 grams of sugar, a little less than a teaspoon. But it gives you 4 grams of sugar per tablespoon of the ketchup. No, nobody's putting a little bit of ketchup. That little, I mean, because whatever you're eating it with, you put more than that on a hamburger. On the other hand, yellow mustard, only 1 gram of sugar per tablespoon. Okay, most times you opt for the ketchup and not the mustard, not because the ketchup is red and not because you like tomatoes. It's because the ketchup has hidden sugar in it. That's the drug that's making you use it. Yes, I said it was a drug. It's like many of you may have remembered when cocaine was a white-collar drug and people that owned businesses or they were in management, they snort cocaine. They didn't lose their businesses or anything like that, but then they dropped it down one socioeconomic level down. And, you know, a lot of people that were, you know, punching clocks and, you know, bad people in neighborhoods were snorting a lot of, you know, they mixed it with something, and they mixed it with a synthetic sugar. So you got the high with cocaine, but the drug that made you go back and buy that product was sugar, was a synthetic sugar. They're doing the same thing in processed foods. I'm sorry, they're doing it. Another bad guy is aspartame. Aspartame is it's a compound of 3 components, and these components are methanol, aspartic acid, and phenylalanine, which is a good amino acid. You know, methanol is a type of alcohol that breaks down into formaldehyde and formic acid. It's toxic. You know, phenylalanine is an amino acid, and amino acids are good for us, well, until you start separating it from their protein chains. Then you start to have major problems. Then there's aspartic acid in aspartame. You know, aspartic acid, like methanol, is an excitotoxin. An excitotoxin is a substance that overstimulates the nerves. This occurs in the brain as well as your peripheral nerves, in your hands and legs and feet. And it easily, it's freeform, so it easily crosses the blood-brain barrier. This excitation of nerve cells create a breakdown of nerve function to the point where the nerve actually dies. You know, it dies from being overexcited. That's right. They're excited to death. I mean, it's not fun. Excitotoxins include such things as monosodium glutamate, and L-cysteine, which is found in hydrolyzed vegetable protein. Read your labels, please. So your ingredient label. So you might want to stay away from the pink, the blue, the yellow packets we're so used to seeing in our first it was just in our restaurants. Now we're seeing it in our houses. I go to homes every day and see people, you know, they got the big huge box of Splenda. Anyway, refined sugar is a huge problem when it comes to blood sugar balance, because it becomes a huge problem there with the pancreas, because it spikes, you know, refined sugar spikes blood sugar, which increases inflammation, increases cravings, and leads to diabetes, obesity, and heart disease. You know, most people have turned to artificial sweeteners like saccharin, cyclamates, sulfame, sulfame, potassium, and you'll see this in many of the ingredient listings. Aspartame, as we mentioned already, and sucralose. What about the other side of the ledger? Are there any sugars out there that are good for us? Are there any good guys, so to speak? So let us take a look at a few of these. Let's start with agave. Agave is a sweetener that's extracted from cactus. It's about 90% fructose, and it has a low glycemic index than sugar, which is better for your blood sugar levels. But using too much of it can lead to excess production of unhealthy cholesterol. So agave is 1.5 times sweeter than sugar and has calcium, potassium, magnesium as well. So it's a good guy. Coconut sugar. Coconut sugar, which is also called coconut palm sugar, is a sweetener made from coconut tree buds, not the fruit. Coconut sugar is almost 80% sucrose, with the rest of it, its sweetening content coming from glucose and fructose. One big advantage from consuming coconut sugar is that it's also low glycemic, lower than sugar. And another advantage that coconut sugar has is that it has the same sweetening value as table sugar, so it can be a direct one-to-one substitution when you're cooking. And it also, coconut sugar also has inositol, or B8. See, they're all coming with something to kind of like slow down the breakdown of the sugar. Then the next good guy, maybe I should say good girls. Anyway, honey. Honey is probably the best-known natural sugar substitute. It dates back to over 5,000 years. Honey contains small amounts of maltose and sucrose and has a lower glycemic index than table sugar, but higher than agave. So honey is about 35% fructose and 30% glucose. Honey's sugar is connected to B2, B6, iron, and manganese. That's why it's so good for you, because it breaks down slowly. Then there's maple syrup. Maple syrup, at a minimum, is 65% sucrose, 4.7% of glucose, and another 1-7% of fructose. It has a glycemic index lower than table sugar and just slightly higher than honey. And despite the fact that maple syrup contains a lot of sucrose, there's been research that shows that it can be quite safe or even beneficial for those with type 2 diabetes. And this is due to the natural phenols that are found in the syrup, and phenols have antioxidant properties. And also it has manganese and zinc. So here you go. You see, the simple sugar, the bad guys don't have good stuff with it, along with it. And wow, I'm going to run out of time here. So I'm going to stop right there, because I have a lot more to cover. I want to cover stevia and some of the like xylitol and erythritol. So please tune in next week. I've got so much information to cover here. I got 10 seconds left, and I'm like really upset right now. But tune in next week, because I'm really going to give you a kicker with this that you really want to hear. So remember, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Budweiser. We'll see you next week.